Today, food inflation still haunts the halls. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one day this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, the latest data from the UK and Canada highlights the true pressures on household budgets from rapidly rising food prices, despite some immediate relief from slightly lower petrol prices. To me, this underscores the embedded nature of inflation in the system and mirrors what we saw from New Zealand just a couple of days ago. In the UK, those soaring food prices drove UK inflation back into double digits in September, intensifying pressure on the government and the central bank to act. The Office of National Statistics said that the Consumer Price Index rose 10.1% last month from 9.9% the month before, which matches a 40-year high reached in July and exceeded economists' expectations, which was around 10%. The ONS said food prices rose by 14.8% from a year ago, also the strongest increase in more than 40 years. Furniture and household goods were another driver, rising 10.7% in September. These rises were partially offset by continuing falls in the cost of petrol, with airline prices falling by more than usual for this time of year, and second-hand car prices also rising less steeply than the large increases seen last year. There were also signs of stickier inflation at the wholesale level. Producer prices, measuring the cost of goods leaving factories, rose 15.9% from a year ago in September. That was slower than the previous month, but slightly above expectations. And raw material prices rose 20%, also above expectations. September's inflation reading traditionally has been used to update an annual increase in welfare benefits, which will be paid out the following April. And it also feeds calculations about how much state pensions will rise. And interestingly, of course, there's some debate about how this is all going to play out, given the recent Chancellor's statements. The figures leave inflation well above the Bank of England's 2% target, adding to pressure on policymakers to lift the key rate significantly next month. The danger is that prices accelerate again early next year after the government loosens its support for household energy bills. The worsening inflation outlook sheds light on the Bank of England's decision to start selling its holdings of government bonds at the start of next month. The Bank of England has about £840 billion worth of gilt holdings, which grew during the quantitative easing it deployed for more than a decade to stimulate the economy through the global financial crisis and pandemic. The bank has already delayed the start of the sales once, given the fallout from the government's fiscal plan last month. Starting quantitative tightening draws a line under the market intervention earlier this month to stave off a fire sale in gilts and puts the inflation fight back at the centre of the bank's focus and will complement moves to tighten financial conditions with higher interest rates. Gilts were broadly lower on Wednesday after the central bank's decision thwarted hopes for an outright delay to sales, with 10-year rates climbing 7 basis points to 4.01%. They will commence the programme from 1 November, but said they would not sell any longer duration gilts for now because, of course, they were in the eye of the storm. Soaring prices have delivered the sharpest squeeze on consumer spending power in decades, leading to a plunge in poll ratings for Prime Minister Liz Truss's government. And while she introduced generous aid for household energy bills and tax cuts to jumpstart growth, a market rout forced her to backtrack on many of those measures, leaving open the question how ministers will respond.
We are a country that funds our promises and pays our debts. And when that is questioned, as it has been, this government will take the difficult decisions necessary to ensure there is trust and confidence in our national finances. That means decisions of eye-watering difficulty. But I give the House and the public this assurance: every single one of those decisions, whether reductions in spending or increases in tax, will be shaped through core, compassionate, conservative value.
Understand that families across the country are struggling with rising prices and higher energy bills, Chancellor of the Exchequer Jeremy Hunt said in a statement. This government will prioritise help for the most vulnerable. The Labour opposition blamed the government for rising prices. Rachel Reeves, the Labour Minister of Parliament, who shadows Hunt, said inflation figures this morning will bring more anxiety to families worried about the Tories' lack of grip on an economic crisis of their own making. The pound dropped after the report falling as much as 0.3% to around 1.1286, and gilts were broadly lower on Wednesday as the central bank's decision thwarted hopes for an outright delay to bond sales from the Bank of England's asset purchases. The yield on the 30-year bond was little changed at about 4.31%, but the 10-year rate climbed 7 basis points to 4.01%. Climbing UK inflation back into double digits in September leaves the Bank of England with little choice but to keep pushing rates higher. Still, the size of November's hike will be determined by how the Bank of England digests the financial meltdown of the past month. The government's recent efforts to calm markets have reduced some of the pressure on the central bank to opt for a three-digit rise in interest rates, but 75 basis points is certainly still on the table. A fall in GDP in August has raised the possibility the UK is now actually in recession. And meanwhile, scaling back aid for electricity and natural gas bills will expose consumers to surging prices in energy markets early next year. UK inflation may peak about 10.7% this year, but surge perhaps to 12% in April if the government doesn't manage to rein in spiralling energy costs. We still expect inflation to peak in October this year, but this can only be achieved with more aggressive interest rate moves by the Bank of England, which could see base rates rising to at least 4.5% early next year, said the chief economist at KPMG in the UK. But there is something else to consider here. It's the different measures which are reported. The Consumer Price Index, the CPI, and the Retail Price Index, the RPI, are two different measures of price inflation in the UK. Each represents a basket of goods in the UK, the content of which is updated regularly to remain reflective of consumers' buying habits, and monitors how the price changes each month. CPI inflation is now at 10.1%, matching that 40-year high, while RPI surged to 12.6%. That's the highest since March 1981. Up until 2003, RPI was the basis for the Bank of England's inflation target. The bank was tasked with keeping RPIX, which is RPI excluding mortgage interest costs, to around 2.5%. Mortgage costs are excluded because the central bank's main tool for curbing inflation is to raise interest rates, but doing so also pushes up mortgage interest costs. This was then replaced with a goal to target CPI at 2%. RPI is deemed the less statistically accurate of the two. For those interested in the technicalities, it's calculated using an arithmetic mean, whereas CPI uses a geometric mean. In fact, the ONS revoked its national statistics status back in 2013. However, as this chart shows, while CPI might well be deemed the more accurate inflation measure, it is also consistently lower than RPI, sometimes significantly so. And this perhaps explains why the government prefers to link benefit payments to CPI, while tax levels, including car tax and air passenger duty, are more often attached to RPI. This is an approach some critics describe as inflation shopping. That said, inflation-linked gilts, UK government debt, are also linked to the RPI, and many defined benefit pension schemes and some annuities increase their members' retirement benefits in line with RPI. That has led to controversy over plans to bring RPI into line with the third inflation measure, CPIH. CPI includes housing costs from 2030. And CPIH is considered by the ONS to be its lead measure of inflation. However, CPIH is expected to be lower on average than the RPI in the long run, and it's been strikingly lower in the recent inflationary period. As a result, the change means that from 2030, any pensioner with an RPI-linked payout will receive less money over their lifetime than they otherwise would have. Now, over in Canada, Statistics Canada released their data to end of September, and they said that the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, rose 6.9% on a year-over-year basis. That's a fall from 7% in August, and that marked the third consecutive monthly slowdown in headline inflation. Lower gasoline prices were mostly responsible for the deacceleration. While prices at the gas pump dropped in September compared to August, Canadians continued to feel the pinch from higher food prices. In September, prices for food purchased from stores were up 11.4%, and they grew at the fastest pace year over year since August 1981, when it was 11.9%. Prices for food purchased from stores have been increasing at a faster rate than the all-item CPI for 10 consecutive months since December 2021. Contributing to price increases for food and beverages were unfavourable weather, higher prices for imported goods such as fertilizer and natural gas, as well as geopolitical instability stemming from Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Food price growth remained broad-based in September on a year-over-year basis. Canadians paid more for meat, up 7.6%, dairy products up 9.7%, bakery products up 14.8%, and fresh vegetables up 11.8%, among other food items. Excluding food and energy, prices rose 5.4% year-over-year in September, following a gain of 5.3% in August. Prices for durable goods, such as furniture and passenger vehicles, grew at a faster pace in September compared with August. In September, the Mortgage Interest Cost Index continued to put upward pressure on the all-items CPI as Canadians renewed or initiated mortgages at higher interest rates. In September, prices for other owned accommodation expenses were up 5.8%, which includes commissions on the sale of real estate, and they increased at a slower rate compared to August when they were up 7.4%. Other owned accommodation expenses have decelerated on a year-over-year basis for five consecutive months. And the Homeowners Replacement Cost Index, which is related to the price of new homes, slowed in September. It was up 7.7% after increasing 8.4% in August. This index has deaccelerated on a year-over-year basis every month since May 2022, when it was 11.1%. These movements reflect a general cooling of the housing market. But in contrast, Canadians have renewed or initiated mortgages at higher interest rates since the onset of recent rate increases, measured in the CPI through the Mortgage Interest Cost Index, which was up 8.3%, and that's increased on a year-over-year basis for three consecutive months. And on a monthly basis, the CPI rose 0.1% in September. On a seasonally adjusted monthly basis, the CPI was up 0.4%. But average hourly wages rose 5.2% on a year-over-year basis in September, meaning that on average, prices rose faster than wages. And the inflation report takes an added significance as the Bank of Canada meets next week. And as is the case with most major central banks, the question is not if rates will rise, but by how much. The bank will be unhappy with core inflation rising, though it's not much of a surprise for bank policymakers, as most Bank of Canada core inflation indices are around 6%. The takeaway from the inflation data is that there will be more support for a 75 basis point hike as opposed to a 50 basis point move, with inflation remaining stubbornly high. And with the Federal Reserve possibly looking at a 75 basis point rate hike in November too, a matching hike from the Bank of Canada will prevent the US-Canada rate differential from widening, which is good news for the Canadian dollar. The Bank of Canada's aggressive rate tightening has pushed the economy closer to a recession, but inflation remains public enemy number one for the bank, which means more outsized rate hikes are on the way. The point I want to leave you with is this, that inflation is still very much there, and food inflation in particular is one to watch. I think we're going to see that continuing to be very significant in the numbers. And, of course, the costs of mortgage rates, which aren't really counted in Australia, but are in some other CPI numbers around the world, is also significant. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.